I want you to make sure you take notes tonight because it's very important. Amen. Praise God. Take notes tonight because we're going to fortify your faith tonight. And we're going to drop microphones on the floor tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. How many's faith is being strengthened? Amen. Amen. The word of God should strengthen us. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a lot stronger person than I was 3 years ago. I'm a lot stronger. My opposition is a lot more intense now. Amen. So it requires for me to be a lot more stronger now. Amen. You need to know that faith is like exercising a muscle. Amen. If you don't exercise it on a daily basis, it doesn't really matter how much you do. It's just that you do it. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Look what it says here. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, I'm going to go a different direction with this message of faith tonight. I want you to circle the word live. The just shall what? Live by his faith. Tonight, we're going to talk about faith that gives life. Faith that gives life. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Turn there right quick. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you tonight that you are more than a conqueror. That whatever is against you, the Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? You are more than a conqueror through him. Amen. Romans 1 and 17. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Look what it says here. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From what? Faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall what? Live by faith. I want you to circle the word live again. Circle the word live again. I want you to see how faith and life, or faith and living, is tied together. Because oftentimes, us as Christians, like I say all the time, or most of the time, for the most part, is that we try to import the system of the world and bring it into the kingdom of God. So Christianity is more of a something that I do once or twice a week rather than a lifestyle. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. And then we get into a bad situation, our faith becomes like some type of tow truck to try to pull us out of a ditch. Are you catching what I'm saying? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Once again, if you were not here Sunday, you better get that message. I'm telling you, that message was powerful. And we're going to be continuing on it because I couldn't even get it all out. We'll continue on it Sunday. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Look what it says here. On the count of three, I want you to read it with me. 1, 2, 3. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Here we find this word walk here. In the Greek, it's the Greek word peripatio, which means to live habitually. You could translate it like this, that the lifestyle of faith ought to be to the point where if you have made a pattern of living, say you're just walking around this pattern, that you do it so much, watch this, that you can do that pattern with your eyes closed. That's what walking by faith is. It means that it's a lifestyle that you live habitually. It's not something that you turn on Sunday morning. It's not something that you turn on Wednesday evening. It's a lifestyle of faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Faith is our life source. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, the Hebrew word live there is the Hebrew word chaya, which literally means, now watch this. Now, you can get the MP3 because it's a lot of definitions, but I want you to see this right here. It means to live, to exist, to enjoy life, to live anew, to quicken or to give life to preserve, to refresh, and to rebuild. The Bible says that the just shall live, the just shall exist, the just shall enjoy life, the just shall live anew, the just shall quicken or give life to things, the just shall preserve, the just shall refresh, and the just shall rebuild by what? By faith. Your faith has the ability to refresh. Your faith has the ability to quicken or give life to things. Your faith has the ability to rebuild any broken situation in your life. Are you catching what I'm saying? That's what your faith is there for. It's, like I said, it's not a tow truck to pull you out of a ditch. It's a lifestyle to keep you out of the ditch. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, life is completely, watch this, and solely tied to God's word because faith is a product of God's word. Life or living or all of these words we just said, existing, enjoying life, living anew, giving life to things that are dead, preserving life, refreshing life, rebuilding life. All of that is completely, somebody say completely, and solely tied to God's word because faith is a product of God's word. Romans 10 and 17, turn there. You already know it, but turn there again. Romans 10 and 17. Romans 10 and 17. Look what it says here. On the count of three, let's read it. One, two, three. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by the word of God. So faith is a product of how much we hear God's word. The less that we hear God's word, the less faith we have. We know this, don't we? Amen. Somebody say amen. We know this. So here we see life is completely and solely tied to God's word because faith is a product of God's word. Now, I want to show you something. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'm doing that because some people's Bible pages are glued together because they never go there. Amen. Somebody say amen. Put a smile on your face because you got that grace. Doo-wop, 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 doo-wop. I'm just playing around. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, my life is solely and completely tied up in God's word. Look what it says here. It said, all the commandments which I command thee this day, you shall observe to do, that you may what? Same word, chaya. The same word, that you may exist, that you may enjoy life, that you may live anew, that you may give life to things that are dead, that you may preserve life, that you may refresh, or that you may rebuild whatever the situation is. He said, all these commandments which I command you this day, you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Notice that faith in God's word gives us the ability to possess. Somebody say amen to this. To possess. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the what? I want you to circle the wilderness. And I can't say this enough right here. The reason why God took them out of Egypt and took them to the wilderness, because had he taken them from Egypt into Canaan land, into the promised land, they would have took those ways into Canaan land with them. The prerequisite for the promised land was two things, two components, faith and identity. In the wilderness, they learned both of those things. They learned faith. Somebody said faith. They learned how to trust God at his word. And they learned who they were. Because remember, all of the spies, out of 12 people that went in, only two decided that they were able to go in and possess the land. The other 10 saw themselves as what? Grasshoppers. Amen. So faith and identity is, they are the prerequisites to enter into your land of possession. Now, in the New Testament, the promised land are the promises of God. Come on, somebody say amen. So it still requires faith and identity. See, you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know what you have in Christ. And you have to know what you're able to do in Christ. Now, remember, we said this Sunday right here that there are two different identities. All of mankind are tied up in either the first Adam and or the last Adam. All of mankind. No one is exempt. If you are an unbeliever, then you are in Adam. And according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, in Adam shall all men die. But in Christ shall all men be made what? Alive. Now, how are we made alive? Through our faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, watch this right here. That means that if you're in a dead situation, you can live. See, your neighbor said, I can live. I can thrive. It doesn't matter how dead the situation is around us. Amen? It doesn't matter what anybody's saying. Obama, the House of Representatives, the Congress, the Senate. Come on, somebody say amen. Supreme Court, Circuit Court, District Court, Juvenile Court. We pray for all of them every single day. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Are you seeing what I'm saying? The Lord is the strength of our life. In whom shall we be afraid? My God. I just got a report last week that, and you guys saw it Sunday, two people in the midst of people saying that there are no jobs, two people got jobs. And it was during this Daniel fast that we have been doing. Now, I know for sure that he had been looking for a job for like a year. But notice that we began to put faith or put an attack on the promises of God with our faith through fasting and praying for 21 days. Amen. And I guarantee there's more miracles in here than just that. But guess what? The husband and the wife got a job the same day. The same day. When people are saying there are no jobs. Come on, somebody say amen to this. See, God will honor his word. See, when we live by faith, when faith is our life source, faith ain't just something that we do once a week or twice a week. It's every single day of our life. Guess what? It becomes second nature to it. We become like the people that, like the word says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Peripatio. We keep beating that ground. Even if it's hard, even if it's opposition, even if there's obstacles, we keep walking that pathway of faith, and pretty soon that thing gets easier. But see, you will never experience the benefits of faith if you're not willing to go through the test of faith. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to be willing to go through it. And look at the test right here. He took them in the wilderness to humble them. See, the wilderness is a place, and I say this again, it's a place where there's no curling irons. So every day is a bad hair day. It's a place where there's no microwave oven. So guess what? You can't put your Hot Pocket or your pizza rolls in there for 30 seconds in and out. See, anything that's valuable in the kingdom of God, anything that's valuable takes time. Come on, somebody say amen. Anything that's valuable takes time. So when we're trusting God and we're believing God, it's going to take time. That's why the word says through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. I like the key word inherit. Somebody say inherit. That means it belongs to you without toil, without work. Come on. Without sweat. It belongs to you. It's your inheritance. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at this right here. It says, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. 3, and he humbled thee and allowed you to hunger and fed thee with manna. Somebody say manna. That word manna is the Hebrew word whatness. That means you couldn't figure it out. It was revelation. Look at this right here. Which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know. Here's the key right here. That man doth not live, chaya, by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man what? Live. He's showing you here that your life source is God's word. The more of God's word that you get in your human spirit, guess what? The more your faith is developed. The more of God's word you get in your human spirit, the more your faith is developed. The more of God's word you get in your human spirit, the more your faith is developed. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm developing my faith. Now, Jesus quoted this same scripture. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Jesus quoted this same scripture. Y'all learning something tonight? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, my faith produces life in every dead situation. Come on, say it again. My faith produces life in every dead situation. I'm trying to tell you, you have something. You have a hot commodity. You have faith. You have the currency of the kingdom of God. And when you start living by faith, when you start thriving by faith, when you start refreshing your life by faith, are you hearing what I'm saying? Quickening and giving life to dead things by faith. Guess what? Everything that's happening in the world, all of your family members, everybody, that's where we're going with this church, they're going to be attracted to you. Because guess what? You're going to have supernatural provision, supernatural healing, supernatural reconciliation. All of this is done through the means of faith. Guess what? It doesn't matter what you're going through, what they're going through, what they're saying is happening. Guess what? Pretty soon your faith is going to produce some life in your situation. I don't know why I'm standing behind this podium. Amen. Somebody say amen. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. He said, and Jesus answered him. This is when Satan came to tempt him. He said, it is what? It is what? I'm telling you, we got a secret here. It is what? It is what? That man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I live by the word. The psalmist said, I desire your word more than I do my necessary food. That's a revelation. It was a revelation to me. Because there was one point in my life that I desired God's word more than my necessary food. But then, watch this. Something happened where I allowed myself to get down and I allowed necessary food to be important in the word. Come on, somebody say amen. It was out of balance. Now I got it back in order. Come on, somebody say amen. I live by the word. I'm sustained by the word. I'm preserved by the word. I exist by the word. Are you catching what I'm saying? Let me bless you. This ain't even in my notes, but I just got to follow the Holy. That's the Holy Ghost right there. Turn to Colossians. See, now watch this right here. Amen. I got to follow the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? I want you to look at the book of Colossians chapter 1. Look at this right here. I want you to look at verse 9. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. To pray for you. To pray for you. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm praying for you. Now, the Apostle Paul had a specific prayer. He said, and I desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his what? His will. Circle the word will there. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, his will is his word. His will is his word. So if you can find it in his word, you know that it's his will. If you can find it in his word, you know that it's his what? His will. Now watch this right here. It says, in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy. The word worthy there means balance. Walk in balance of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being what? Fruitful. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God wants us to be fruitful. Fruitful. That means full of fruit in every area. Now, here's what we got to do. Pastor Healy taught us last week that we got to put our faith has to always be on the attack. That means your faith has to be directed towards something. Doesn't matter to me what you're directing your faith towards. It needs to be directed towards something. Come on, somebody say amen. See, you're not living by faith if you're not exercising your faith muscle. You have to direct your faith towards something. See, our faith has been directed towards this building. And you can ask my wife. The enemy has tried to attack me and all kind of stuff. And I'm, you know, hearing this, you know, voice concerning different people that was involved with the process of getting the building. And, you know, another pastor came up to me and he was kind of irate about us getting the building. And, you know, he had like $10,000. And I'm thinking to myself, we don't have a down payment right now in the natural realm. So the enemy was telling me they entertaining that behind my back. And my wife would come back and she would speak the word to me. Speak the word to me. And I go back into my prayer closet and I speak the word. See, that's what you got to do. Guess what? Sometimes them birds going to be flying over your head like Papa Hagen said. They're going to be flying over your head. But guess what? Don't let them make a nest in your head. The way that you take the thought is by saying the thought. Jesus said, don't take the thought by saying. You hear what I'm saying? So when that thought comes, guess what? You got to get God's arsenal of his word out in your spirit and begin to start talking what God says. Amen. Now look at this right here. I'm about to show you something. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, my life is solely tied up in the word of God. I'm gonna give you a scripture and I want you to never ever forget this scripture in your life, and you need to confess it every single day. You ready? It says right here, strengthened with all might, verse 11, according to the glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet. Old English word means able. To be partakers of what? The inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power. Tell your neighbor, say, we have been delivered. You're not going to be delivered. You have been delivered. We have been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we now have redemption. Somebody say redemption. That word redemption is tied up in three words, and we're going to bring it out again. Somebody say release, recovery of sight, and restoration. You have been redeemed. Now watch this right here. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are where? In heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things. How many things? All things were created by him. and for him. Now watch this. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is the scripture I want you to memorize here. Verse 17. He is before all things, and by him. Who is him? Him is the Word. Him, Jesus, is the Word. Jesus is him. Are you catching this right here? So by Jesus, all things consist. Or by the Word, all things consist. The word consist means held together. Your whole life is held together by the Word of God. Are you catching this right here? This whole universe is held together by the Word of God. That's why the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of the word will ever be removed. Everything you and I see is held together by the Word. Your marriage is held together by the Word. Your job is held by the Word, not by your boss or the economy or Obama. It's held together by the Word. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Man, that's powerful. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go to the next scripture just to validate that. Turn to St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. We're going somewhere, y'all. We'll be done by 8:30. Is that all right? Is that too late, y'all? St. John chapter 1. I promise you, we'll be done. And when we get done, I'm telling you, you're going to be so full of the Word, your faith is going to release, and you're going to start giving life to dead things. I prophesy it. I decree it right now in Jesus' name. Look at John chapter 1. You know what? Your faith has to be on the attack. Our faith has to be on the attack. That means that you got to find something that's in opposition to God's word in your life and put your faith on it until that thing conforms to the image of his word. Most people, they put their faith on it, and guess what? They confess the word 3 or 4 times, and then they back off and say, it ain't moving. Must not be the Lord's will. But we told you, his word is his will. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it said, this is the confidence that we have, that anything that we ask is according to his will, we know we have the desired petitions that we're asking for. That means that if it's in his will, we have a right to ask. The question is, are we asking? Mark chapter 11 says, what things soever you desire when you pray. You can interchange that word pray with ask. What things soever you desire when you pray, amen, believe that you receive them and you will have whatever you what? Say. My God. We're going to get to that. I don't want to get past it. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the beginning was the what? And the word was with what? And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, here we go again, were made by who? Him is who? Jesus is who? The word of God. Watch this. And without him was not anything made that was what? Made. In him, in the word was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. Here we go again. There is life in the word of God. Come on, somebody say amen. When the word of God is released by faith out of our mouths, we decree and we release life. I'm just going to show it to you. I'm telling you, do you have something dead in your life right now? You know, even my mother, when I was growing up in Detroit, Michigan, even her, I would watch her and she'd be playing with the plants and talking to the plants. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you talking to these plants? She said, because if I talk to them, they'll grow. See, some of you need to treat some things in your life like a plant and start talking to it. Because when you open up your mouth, you're releasing life. Man, here we go. Here we go. Amen. Here we go. Look at this. John chapter 10, verse 10. See, you got to validate that God wants you to have good life, abundant life. You hear what I'm saying? See, I done got to the place that I'm willing to make whatever sacrifice I got to do in order to do this thing and to live this thing. Because I believe this thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I really believe it in my heart. I believe this word like never before. I've watched God. I'm 3.5 years and we're about to own our own property. 18,000 square feet. You got to catch what I'm saying. My wife and I sat in the apartment, and we opened up our Bible with about 5 adults and about 8 kids. And they was all them little baby kids for people that started with us. And we was doing Bible study in a living room / dining room of an apartment. And look at where we are right now. 3.5 years later, it'd be 4 years, November, the third week of November, when we do our Occupy conference, and it's going to be good. Praise God in heaven. Amen. But less than 4 years later, we're about to own our own property. And you need to know why the enemy attacks so much with the owning of it, because ownership equals kingdom. Ownership equals kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to drop some on you. Let me get back to my notes. John chapter 10, verse 10. Look what it says here in the Amplified Bible. It says, the thief. Somebody say, the thief. He comes only in order to steal. Somebody say, steal. And kill. And destroy. Now watch this. Now before I go on, I got to give you revelation of what this actually means here. Because I hear people take it and they take the words and they reverse them. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. No, the Bible is written systematically and in order, okay? The Bible teaches us that Satan comes to steal the word. When he steals the word, he's able to kill you spiritually. After he's able to kill you spiritually, he's able to destroy you physically. So everything starts with the word. If you go back to the book of Genesis, the first thing the enemy took was the word from Adam and Eve. When he took the word from them, God said, when you eat of this tree, you will surely do what? Die. So he killed them spiritually. After he killed them spiritually, destruction, it took 930 years, but guess what? It was inevitable, because guess what? No word, no life. That man in the very beginning lived by faith. You got to catch what I'm saying. It's a beautiful thing about it. The faith that was on the inside of him because of the word that permeated out of him gave him the ability to, God would bring the animals unto him, and whatever he would name them, that was the name thereof. He named every animal, named every insect. Are you catching what I'm saying? This is the power that this man of God had. And Jesus came back and had the audacity to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means go back to the original. Change the way you're thinking. Turn MTV off. Turn BET off. Turn off what the economy is talking about, recession, depression, possession. You hear what I'm saying? Turn all that mess off and get in the word, because there's life in the word. There's life in the word. That's why the psalmist said, one thing I desire. Oh, my God. Do you remember when the two sisters one was at the feet of Jesus and one was cooking and everything. She was making flapjacks and neck bones and menudo all together. And she got sweaty in the kitchen and got mad and said, Jesus, why don't you tell her to get up off her butt and get here and help me with this food? He said, listen, I understand what you're going through, sister, but look here. She's chosen the one thing that matters. You got to catch what I'm saying. If you don't have nothing but the word, you got everything. Yeah. The Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they that build it labor in vain. You can have the hammer, you can have the wood, but if you don't got the word, you don't got nothing. My God. Look at this. He said, the thief comes to steal the word, kill you spiritually, and destroy you physically. He said, but I come that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. I want you to say that with me. Say, I came that they may have and enjoy what? Life. And have it in an abundance to the full. Come on. Till it overflows. That's the kind of life God wants for us. See, all of that thievery, all of that stealing, all that killing, all that destruction, all those wounds, all those scars, don't associate that with God. You can't associate death with life. In him is life. Are you catching what I'm saying? Don't associate your pain with God. You know what I mean? Some people want to take and make God the author of sickness over pain, over poverty. I was talking to somebody today. I don't know who it was I was talking to, but we were talking about Catholicism, how they made vows of celibacy and vows of poverty. That didn't come from God. Amen. That's why they had babies hidden up in the walls and stuff like that, because they were sleeping with each other, the priest and the nuns. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, I'm not bashing no religion, but you better do what God say. He said, it's not good for man to be all one or be alone. So I'm going to make him a helpmeet. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. See, it only gets like that when we try to do it our way. Here we go. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, is life in the word. And the word produces life. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Turn there. Hebrews 4, verse 12. We're getting there, y'all. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. I'm only going to read like the first sentence. But I want you to catch this right here. Because here's what I want you to see. Every time you get this word, we're going to go to something in a minute. Every time you get this word in your mouth and you speak it, you are decreeing life. Amen. Somebody say life. Praise God. Look what it says in Hebrews 4 and 12. The Amplified, it says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. The word that God speaks is alive and full of power. I'm going to say it again. The word that God speaks is alive. It's not figurative, y'all. This is truth. This is literal. It's full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. The word that God speaks is alive. Now, if you was just go over to James chapter 5 and 16, James chapter 5, verse 17, you'll find that there's a man of God by the name of Elijah. The Bible said he was a man that was subject to like passions, just like you and I are. Like passions. That means he went through some of the same things that we went through. The Bible said this man opened up his mouth and he decreed a thing. He prayed that it would not rain for the space of 3.5 years, and the Bible said it stopped raining. And then after God was done doing his doing, the man prayed again, and guess what happened? It started raining. And then James turned around and said this right here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Amplified says it makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its work. And what is he saying? When you speak the word, you're releasing life. You're releasing favor. You're releasing power. When you speak the word, see, the word doesn't just work when you just get it in you. You got to get it in you. You got to release it out of you. That's why when Satan came to Jesus, he said, it is written. He opened up his mouth and he released the word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, say, you got power. Look here at Psalms 91, verse 16. Turn there real quick. Psalms 91, we're going to go to a few, and I want you to write every last one of these down. Psalms 91, verse 16. Look at this promise of God. It says, with long what? Will I satisfy him and show him my what? Salvation. With long life. Look at Proverbs 3 and 2. Turn there. Proverbs 3 and 2. Take neighbor, said neighbor, there's life in the word. Just imagine the word is like a capsule. When you release that capsule and it bursts open, there's life coming out of it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. You get there? Verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law or my word, but let thine heart keep my commandments or my word. For length of days and long what? And peace shall they add to thee. Look at this. God's word will add life to you. Look at Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. Turn there right quick. Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. 20 through 22. It says, my son or my daughter, attend to my what? Attend to my what? One more time. Attend to my what? Incline your ear unto my sayings. Sayings and words are interchangeable. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? They are what? They are what? Life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at 24. I'm going to read 23 and 24 real good. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee what? A froward mouth and perverse lips put far from me. Take your neighbor and say, neighbor, my mouth got something to do with my life. My mouth has something to do with my life. Now we're going to talk about that. Take your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to release faith and release life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. Turn there right quick. Y'all being blessed tonight? We just having some good old midrash, some good teaching tonight. Amen. I tell you, we're going to have just a bunch of Bible speakers out of this church right here. Do you know that's how we're going to change? The Bible says in Zechariah 4 and 6, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. See, when you put your hand to it and you can do it and you can figure it out, guess what? You get the glory. But it's something else when you speak the word and it happens. God gets the glory. Well, Pastor, where's that in the Bible? Where do you remember Moses when he was in the wilderness, the place of faith and identity? God told Moses, he said, look here, Moses. He said, I don't want you to hit the rock. I want you to speak to the rock. Now, here's something. I'm going to give you a revelation. The rock will pour forth water, which is a type and shadow of provision, whether you speak to the rock or you hit the rock. Speaking to the rock gives God glory. Hitting the rock gets you glory. Speaking to the rock is limitless. Hitting the rock is limited. When he hit the rock, he could not go into the promised land. What does hitting the rock mean? It means you doing it in your own power, your own ability, your own talent, your own skill. Are you catching what I'm saying? But speaking to the rock is when you say, God, I trust you. I'm just going to speak to the rock. Now, I'm not telling you just to speak to everything and sit around in your butt with a remote control. I'm not saying that. Hear what I'm saying? I'm saying before you face the world, face God. Before you face the world, before you start putting your hands to it, speak to it first. Are you catching what I'm saying? Before you just accept what the doctors say, speak to it. Before you just say what the bill collected, speak to it. Amen. I got mine in my back pocket. You pull it out, put it on the floor, and walk on it, and start confessing the word over it. Are you catching what I'm saying? Come on, somebody get a load of hand clap. You ready to be blessed? Here you go. Let's find it in the word. Proverbs 10 and 11. On the count of three. You there? Anybody there? Proverbs 10 and 11? I want you to get it yourself. Let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of... You catch it? But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. If you're experiencing violence, it could have something to do with your mouth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Now, can I just tell you something? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Can I just back up and be a good pastor for a minute? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians teaches us this right here. It says, walk in the spirit, and you will not bring to pass the lust of the flesh. Same word, peripatio. It means to live habitually in the word. Live habitually in the spirit. And you're going to see this in a minute in John 6 and 63. If you live outside of this principle, hear what I mean, and you're over here walking in the flesh, it's not going to produce for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not going to produce for you. But if you're over here living habitually in the word, walking and living by faith, it'll begin to produce for you. You know, it might just end up being a pencil at first. It might end up being a pair of socks. I don't know what it is that you're believing God for. But guess what? The more that you put pressure on the word of God and release your faith and release life and live in this area of living and walking in the spirit habitually, guess what? Pretty soon it's going to become second nature. It's going to happen for you over and over again, over and over again. Amen. Over and over again. Amen. Praise God. There's some areas in my life that I'm saying, God, man, you provide this beautiful building for us and everything, but I need you over here too. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And see, Pastor Ely taught us that sometimes there is the gift of faith, but then there's the personal faith that you have to have every day. Somebody say personal faith. That's where you meditate the word and get the word in you. See, here's the thing. I'm just gonna be honest with y'all. Can I be honest? Sometimes we just gotta shut TV down, shut radio down. See, I know some of y'all like the oldies but goodies. Amen. Ooh. You know, people like that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But the thing about it is, if it ain't the word, it's taken from your life. So you got to treat your life like a video game. You remember that little power bar? Everything that you let in your eye gate and you let in your ear gate is either going to take away your power or increase your power. That's why we got a peripatio. We got to walk by faith. Every single day, we got to increase our faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My God. They said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you have faith as, not the size. People misinterpret and they say size. Don't have to do with size. It has to do with as. What is he saying as? He's saying plant the thing. Plant the faith. Speak the word. Decree the word. Plant it. The Bible says in the book of James, get the word fixed firmly. Implant it in your mind because it's able to save your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your emotion, and your will. Well, 3 John says this right here. Beloved, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So if I get my soul together, I'm going to get everything else around me together. Are you catching what I'm saying? So I got to fix the word in my mind, fix it in my spirit, and then all of a sudden, guess what? That which is in me pretty soon is going to come out of me. It can't help but come out of me. Glory to God. Here it go. Proverbs 13:3. We're almost done, y'all. 3 minutes. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Proverbs 13:3. Look what it says here. It says, he that keepeth his what? Keepeth his what? Well, if you're losing your life, it's probably got something to do with your mouth. Now, let's define what life is again. You ready? Here's what it is. It's to live, to exist, to enjoy life. You can make it simple like this. If you're not enjoying life, it could have something to do with your mouth. If you're not living a new and a fresh life, it's got something to do with your mouth. If you're not preserving, it got something to do with your mouth. You catch that right there. If you're not rebuilding, it's got something to do with your mouth. Amen? Praise God. Proverbs 13:3. We said that one. Look at Proverbs 15:4. Turn it right quick. Proverbs 15:4. Here we go. This is powerful. On the count of three, let's read it together so we all can get it. 1, 2, 3. A wholesome tongue is a what? You see how life is associated with your mouth? And life is associated with faith? Come on. Y'all learning something tonight? Amen. Listen, no matter what the situation look like, I'm not even going to say we're obligated. I'm going to say this right here. Jesus ignored natural circumstances. He ignored them. I mean, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how are we going to pay our taxes? I ain't got no money to pay the taxes. Jesus said, look here, man, go fishing. The first fish you get, open his mouth. There's going to be enough money in his mouth to pay your taxes and mine. Now let's move on. Well, Lord, these people have been following you for 3 days. They've been here and ain't nobody ate no food. He said, okay, what do we have among us? Well, Lord, this much money couldn't even buy enough food for all these 15,000 people. Well, what do we have among us? Well, all we got is this little lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. He blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and they had 12 baskets left over. He completely ignored the natural situation. My God. He went in the boat and he said, let us go over to the other side. Man, this is just the word of God. He said, let us go over to the other side. Amen. So he got in the boat, and the Bible said he laid down and went to sleep in the bow of the boat on the pillow. He was chilling. Somebody say he was chilling. He was cutting some Z. Are you catching what I'm saying? But Jesus was relaxing. And then the storm came. But remember, he already spoke the word, said, let us go over to the other side. So the storm came. The disciples start getting scared, and they jumped up, Master, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're about to die? And he said, look here, man, move out the way. He said, peace, be still. He rebuked the wind, and he calmed the storm, and then he didn't stop there. He turned around and said, oh, you of little what? Faith. And I taught you this. The reason why he told them that is because they could have said, I rebuke you in peace, be still. Are you catching what I'm saying? My God, the same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead lives on the inside of you and I. The spirit of God is life itself, the principle of life. You got to catch what I'm saying. My God, we have the ability to come. I'm not even going to go there yet. We're going to go there in a minute. Here we go right here. Glory be to God. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. See, if you're feeling down and feeling wounded and feeling hurt, you got to watch what you're saying out of your mouth. My God. Proverbs 18:21. Turn that right quick. We're almost done, y'all. I promise. Proverbs 18:21. Look at verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his what? With the increase of his lips shall he be what? Now, let's read Proverbs 18:21 from the perspective of what we've been teaching tonight. Death and are in the power of the... You got to catch what I'm saying here. You hear me, Tony? You could change your life by your words. When you release your words, you're releasing your faith. John 16:63. I got two more scriptures and I'm done. John 16:63 and one more. Turn there right quick. This is powerful. Amen. See, you reading it. All we're doing is having a midrash. We're having a Bible study, and you're getting it yourself. We'll preach on Sunday, but you're learning something today. Amen. You know what I want? I want, this is what, when I first start getting this revelation, this is what happened to me. I will go to church, and don't get offended. Tell you to say, don't get offended. See, I will go to church, and pastor be teaching on the power of the tongue and death and life and the power of the tongue. You know, years ago when I was a young man of God, youth pastor and all that stuff like that, and I didn't have my words together, other people in the congregation, if I said something negative, guess what? Because I felt like I could say it because I was living in that other Adam still. Amen. Remember I told you Sunday, I said we took the first man, Adam, we dressed him up, put some gaiters on him, put blessed and highly favored in his mouth, and we think he's a believer. Amen. Let me help you out right here. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Tell your neighbor, say, we can't please God without faith. The word faith does not mean, the word please does not mean satisfy. It means to agree with. So you can't agree with God by faith. Now watch this right, I mean without faith. Now watch this. The Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So let's glue them together. They that are in the flesh cannot live by faith. Catch what I'm saying here. It's impossible to live by faith if you're in the flesh. Because you're conscious, when you're in the flesh, you're conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you can touch, what you can feel, what you can taste, if you're walking in the flesh. But when you're walking in the spirit, guess what? You override the sense realm. Faith is the sense of the kingdom of God. And you start living by that, by what you don't see. Come on, somebody say amen. You catch that right there? This is kingdom teaching right here. John 16:63. You there yet? St. John chapter 6. And verse 63, on the count of three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are. Did you catch it? The words. My God, that's powerful. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The word quickeneth means gives life. You hear that? You hear that, Brenda? The spirit gives life. And then he tells you that I'm going to define what spirit is. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. So when I speak the word, I'm able to quicken or give life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, he said, neighbor, get your faith on the attack. See, right now you should be writing down, before I give you this last verse, you should be writing down at least three things this week that you're about to apply your faith to. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. Apply your faith to it. And matter of fact, I'm going to give you two more scriptures. I'm so sorry because I got to do this. Because the Lord has put something on my heart to ask people, what are your personal things that you're believing for? Don't just tell me about it. Give it to me on paper. Because when I'm going before the Lord, I want to put myself in agreement with you. Because if your faith ain't strong enough and mine ain't strong enough, we put ours together. Jesus said, wherever two or three are there to gather together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So maybe you might not have enough faith, or maybe you're working on it, or whatever the case may be. But guess what? When we come together, amen? See, this is how the body should work. We should all be coming together to help each other out. If there's an obstacle in your life, and it's against God's word, you and I should grab somebody, amen, and start believing the word together until that thing come to pass. And guess what? Don't negate what you're believing by speaking the wrong stuff. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only that which is edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means if you believe in God for something, I don't care what it is, don't start speaking against what you're believing for. Don't think that your natural circumstance gives you the ability, well, this is just reality. No, that's stupidity. Come on, somebody say amen. If you're going to walk by faith, you got to speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, and let the word do the work. Amen. Romans 4:17. Turn there. Pastor, you 5 minutes over. I know. I'm so sorry. Actually, I'm six minutes over. I'm going to be done, y'all. I promise right now. I just got to find the page because my page is torn. Romans 4:17. You ready? Look what it says here. My God. Look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of what? That it might be by what? Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Faith will access grace. Now, you should know what grace is. Somebody tell me, what is grace? What is it? Come on, what is it, church? Grace is what? Grace ain't that little bitty umbrella that covers you every time you make a boo-boo. No, that's not grace. That's cheap. Grace is God's power. The Bible calls the Holy Ghost the Spirit of grace. When you live by faith, you access the power of the Holy Spirit. When you live by faith, you access the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power that created everything that we see. When you live by faith. Are you catching what I'm saying? Here we go. Look at this right here. Here we go. It says, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God. Here we go. Who quickeneth. The word quicken means gives life to the dead. Watch this. Now, how does he do it? And call it. Somebody say, call it. Call it. Now, listen, I'm not no English major, but if I get on my cell phone and I call somebody, I have to use my mouth, don't I? Come on, somebody say amen. If somebody is down on that end of the church and I start calling them, I'm summoning them to come to me. The Bible said God gives life to dead things, and he calls things that be not as though they were. Well, Ephesians tells you and I to imitate him as a dear child. Now, let me end with this right quick, because this is powerful. Here's the power of a child. The Bible says that if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you got to be like a little what? Child. Here's children. If you take a little baby and you don't expose them to any negative news, and you teach that baby that Jesus is a healer, Jesus is a provider, Jesus can raise the dead, Jesus can walk on water, Jesus can open blind eyes. Guess what? When that little kid gets about 8 years old and they see a person that's blind, mommy, daddy, let's pray for them. Why? Because Jesus opens blind eyes. See, that's what God wants us to get to. See, what's happened is that we've been fathered by the world system, and it's been tainting our view concerning God's word. And God wants us to get to the place where we know nothing but the word. We know nothing but the word. And guess what? That's what we're going back to. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. Dr. Lester Summerall came to his door. He had a newspaper up under his arm. Wigglesworth opened the door and said, what's that in your arm? He said, it's the daily newspaper. He said, throw it over there in the bushes, because nothing comes in my house except the word of God. And guess what? We got to get to the place where there's nothing left but the word. Because guess what? Once our eyes see it, our ears hear it, and we start believing it and act upon it, it's just a matter of time before we start raising the dead. Because we serve a God that calls things that be not as though they were. That means you got the ability tonight in Jesus' name to look at what belongs to you and call it to you. Are you catching what I'm saying? Look at what belongs to you and call it to you. And the last one, Matthew 18:18. Turn it right quick, and I'm done, I promise, because I just want to exhort you right quick. Matthew 18:18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind, word bind means to pronounce binding and obligatory. This scripture literally means in kingdom terms that you and I, or in legal terms, that you and I have the ability to legislate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are a law giver. You are a law maker. Now, God is ultimately given the law, but you and I got to get it in our mouth. The diastomos, the double-edged sword. The word of God does not become powerful until it passes through the mouth of God's and then through your mouth. Diastomos, the two-mouth sword. Are you catching what I'm saying? It's the sword of the Spirit when it gets in your mouth. That's why Ephesians tells us in chapter 6, it tells us this right here. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication and all manner and all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, watching thereunto and perseverance for all the saints. It tells you, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, or the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God, the rhema, the spoken word. Not the word that's just on the pages, but the spoken word of God. That means we got to speak the word. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet tonight. We're done in Jesus' name. My God. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, heaven is backing me up. Verse 19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you, somebody say two of you. See, I'm just going to say this. Tonight, you might want to find somebody. You might want to find somebody. Exchange the things that you're believing God for. Ain't y'all tired of praying prayers and ain't getting no answers? Come on, somebody say amen to that. We got to put our faith on the attack. That means that what are you believing for? Is it a family member? Is it a financial situation? Is it a health situation? Let's put our faith on it together as the body of Christ. The Bible said, upon this rock will I build my church. Somebody say, my church. Say, I am the church. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail. That's a defensive term, meaning that the church is progressively moving forward and the gates of hell can't stop us. That means we are moving towards prosperity and no devil in hell can stop us. We're moving towards healing and no devil can stop us. We're moving towards everything that God has planned and purposed for us and no devil in hell can stop us. Are you catching what I'm saying? In Jesus' name. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. How many things? Anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, get a Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.